nice to people, and then like you know motherfuckers try to act like they're all real, and then fucking no, don't talk about that, bro.
Yeah, because I feel like a loser, you know. And when you're a loser, yeah, you know what I mean. You just kind of like still tell people, you know, up front all your you know character defects and shit.
No, it's true because I was telling Felipe before you walked in here a couple we've ran into you a couple times, like me and other comedians and shit.
Yeah.
And we're chilling at a like 7-8 years ago at the In-N-Out on Sunset, and you came in there, ate a burger real quick. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
You guys hang out with Felipe, huh? Well, yeah. I remember you, man. Cool. Yeah, Felipe's growing his hair out, huh? He's like kind of dirty, huh? He's like
that's how
like
I,
a rock
that's
star,
how I
huh?
sound, dude.
No, that's how
your impression of me right now, dude.
No,
that's what he.
You're doing like a white dude from the beach.
Yeah, no, but that's how you know.
That was La Jolla accent.
Yeah. It's a fucking.
Hey, dude, what's up, buddy?
Korean American from San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? So he's like dirty, huh? He's like a rock star. He's fucking awesome, huh? And we're like, yeah, what the fuck? This already knows, dog. And then another time you told us about you were in Alhambra and you did this spot. Rick Ramos used to run the room. We were there with Joey Diaz. And then we're hanging out.
Blue Sapphire.
That's the room. Blue Sapphire,
Whoa. You get excited, huh?
Ah, dude, this is what's up with that. Because we're talking about showcasing and shit, and you're saying one time that you were showcasing for Montreal and shit at the main room of the
I never
store.
Went.
Well, yeah, and
you
then
never
you,
went?
You bombed so hard that you were shivering and somebody had to get you off stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I cried.
Yeah, and motherfuckers will never say that shit, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, I bombed so bad I cried on stage.
Damn.
Yeah, and he was, because you know, fools.
The dice man put a leather jacket on him.
Get over here, Bobby. What the fuck happened? Who did this? Man.
Yeah, I mean, I've cried so many times during showcases because it's like I've never been to Montreal, right? So then you feel like you're not a part of the cool group. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I
want to
be
a
part of, like, in high school, like, I was always with the nerds and stuff, and I want to be a part of the cool group, but they never invite me. So it makes me sad and I cry.
Because you're like a fucking warrior on that little stage, dog. You'd be rocking it, dude, and you'd be like, dude, this fool's bad as fuck, and for you not to be up in that mix, you're like,
well, no, but
wrong?
Now they invite me and they do stuff. Hey, you're going to do the Gook Show.
Yeah,
right?
Man. You can do the ethnic show with Sebastian Malakowski and Alonzo Bowden and Ashira, whatever her name was.
Did we start already or what?
Yeah, we started a long time ago. What's up, fool? Podcast up? With Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. We have Bobby Lee here, people.
Yeah,
all the
dude.
Way from San Diego.
No, I live here now, though.
The first time I saw Bobby Lee, bro, that fool was dressed like Chucky, bro.
Yeah.
He had fucking tennis shoes, a fucking Converse, a red t-shirt, and overalls.
Yeah.
All he did was rollerblades.
Yeah. I was confused. Yeah, because I didn't know how to dress.
That when he first showed up to a comedy store.
Yeah, it was.
It was him and fucking, what's his name? Noe.
Oh,
Gonzalez.
Yes.
Okay, now
he had long hair.
Have you seen? He's a perfect circle. What happened to him? He like evolved into like a vegetable. You know what I mean?
Like, he looked like Lee Sia with no podcast.
Yeah. What happened to him? He ate a lot?
Hanging out with doing those fluffy shows.
What happened to him? He ate a lot.
I think he started eating too much, man. Hanging out with little Fluffy.
Yeah.
He was like the little guy next to Jabba the Hutt. Are you hungry?
No. Wiki, bro.
Is he still with him or no?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Got cut loose.
He did.
Loose.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, he was always competitive with me, dude.
Well, hey, I noticed that because you guys are like the first dudes that went on tour with Mencia, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day when
Mencia was
blowing up in the 90s, right? Late 90s. And I've always seen that in him because remember, you know, there was another comedian saying that fool had an issue being humble when he was with Mencia because he would come into rooms, can't get up, he'll take off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was competitive with me and like kind of like grouchy around me and stuff because I started getting things and stuff and I just feel I'm not in competition with nobody, man. Because it's like in this business, you know, you're hot 1 minute, you're not, and then you're hot again. It doesn't matter. It's just life.
Yeah.
You know, people like, you know, in life, people have to go to work on Monday from 8 to 5 or whatever every day, and they barely make any money. And like, we get to do this. This is great. Regardless of what's going on, you know?
Regardless.
If you got a movie, I'd be like, yeah, I'm stoked, you know, because that's great. You deserve it, you know? We're just here to play.
Probably in line, bro. I remember I walked into places, like, I met the main people from Mad TV.
Uh-huh.
And they told me it was because Bobby Lee told them about me over and over.
Hell yeah, dude.
And I had no agent, no manager. Went in there like a soldier, bro. Just met everybody. Got to meet everybody. Gonna tell me no. But it was because of Bobby Lee.
That's what's up, huh?
Yeah, I always loved you, bro.
He's always giving people help, like helping out people on the sides. Like, I saw
cool,
you on...
Dog.
This is not happening. When with Ari Shaffir and Steve Ramanizzi, what's his name?
Ramanizzi.
Ramanizzi,
bro. He was at the San Bernardino shooting, bro.
he was
a San Bernardino survival shooter.
Yeah.
Fucking ISIS almost there, got him this fucking time.
Yeah. He was there in Hiroshima. Did you know that? He left town right before that bomb hit.
Yeah, man. He was holding the camera when Mercia walked up to Joe Rogan.
He's sitting next to fucking Rosa Parks, that guy.
Yeah, bro. You didn't see him, bro? He's like one of those little fools running on the Led Zeppelin bombing at the Hindenburg.
Fucking Hindenburg, my son.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you know when the snake made Adam eat the apple? He was there, dude. He was in a tree looking down.
He was yelling out timber.
Yo, dude, I called Steve after that, man.
But you know, he told you too? He told you that he was a survivor?
Just one of those
but you knew him when he first got here.
I thought it was a joke. I always knew it as a joke, and I never took him seriously because it was in play. And I just, you know, I called him and I said, are you okay? Because it's like, for me, I never really believed him 100%. And because, you know, like Dice used to call him number two from building number two. You know what I mean? So people.
Fuck!
Right? There's number like, two over there.
Yeah. So it's
fuck!
Yeah.
Really,
so,
dog?
But in a joking way, right? So you never think, you know, you exaggerate things, you know, and it's like, I mean, he's a friend of mine, so, you know, I'm defending him, you know, but I always thought of it as a joke, you know, But then he said it in a bigger
podcast.
Yeah,
Mark Maron,
WTF,
Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
just what's happening.
He fucking lied to us too, bro.
But you know, it's one of those things where it, you know, you get sympathy a little bit when you talk about. Maybe he probably said it as a joke at first, and then right. you realize that people, you know, when you're young and you're hungry and you're trying to make it in the business, and that was one of those things where it was a good conversation starter or whatever, and he maybe took it too far, maybe, you know.
Rodrigo used to say that Pancho Villa raped his grandma.
It was consensual.
Yeah, but El Paso, man. He came in.
He shot the clock. He made it stop. Ripped those panties down. She wasn't wearing no panties. She free balls. Yeah, man.
You ever lied before?
Me? Not really, dog. I don't really lie. I'm one of those dudes, this motherfucker ain't going to say shit, dog.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those motherfuckers that exaggerates or lies to get a spot or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That shit.
Have you ever faked an intro like, you know, like, hey, say this about me and then like it's not true?
I've had people say shit, oh, like, oh, dude, you've seen this dude on such and such. It's like, dude, what's up? All right, whatever. Dude, give me a fucking break. I didn't ask you to say that fucking credit.
Yeah, I confront people.
You don't, I hate that shit, dude.
I'll walk up to a comic, oh, you were on The Tonight Show? And they'll go, no, then why'd you have that host say that? Because let me tell you something right now. When people lie, right, it takes away from what the actual thing is, right?
Yes,
no, I totally feel that way, dude.
Yeah. Like if you were like on a show, like, you know, and they said that they were on the show, it takes away your, you know what I mean, ability, really, almost. Your like achievements, you know?
Like what's the name? I don't know. What's his name? That comedian? He does the Ontario Improv a lot. He was saying that he was on a George Lopez show. He was never on a George Lopez show.
Yeah.
He was driving a van, passing out merch.
Promoting the George Lopez
George
show.
Putting George Lopez fucking statuettes all over the stores. Hey, watch the George Lopez show. Yeah, I seen on the George Lopez show. Yeah. He was not even a go-to guy, not even a...
He wasn't even a fucking atmosphere.
Not even a man in the streets.
That's why you should confront them.
But you know what's crazy about that shit right now? Because I've always felt like that, but I've always felt that I don't have enough fucking clout to say shit to people.
Yeah.
Man, shut the fuck up. What you done? Local comedy jam. But like now people say, if you go up to somebody and say that shit, they'll be like, oh, he's a dick, dude. That fucking comic's bitter. Why are you saying that? Nah, motherfucker.
Fucking hater, bro.
Justice right there.
Yeah, it's not that. It's like, I know we always walk around because we don't want people to like us and stuff. Like I'm the number one guy. I'm very needy. You know, I want people to love me, dude. But it's like, comes to a point where you have to confront some shit. I mean, like when without Rogan, Mencia wouldn't have changed, right? And like, you know, regardless of how he approached it or what he did, it's like, you know, he had to do what he thought it was right, you know? And I feel bad about the whole Mencia thing, man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But it's like...
It stopped. Yeah.
It stopped. Yeah, it did.
Quick question about that whole shit. Where was that fool's openers when that shit was going down? Did
me?
He just?
You're
yeah,
like me.
No, no, not you. Like you know, no,
you
Cristela,
looked at me. You looked at me and
Cristela, Trevino.
Trevino, the ones that were with them at that particular time, because you were there way before.
Yeah, but I still saw it.
Oh, you see? I didn't
you
know
were
you
there.
Was,
well, you see what's going on stage? Yeah. And you go, oh, that sounds like you know Bill Hicks, but
oh,
you know,
I didn't know. That.
Well, that whole thing about the LA riots bit, you know what I mean? All that stuff is it's a hit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Keep driving, you know what I mean? When the, you know, the guy got pulled out of that truck and stuff. Like, that's, you know, not really original, you know? But you see it, he does it in his own way, and you think, oh, that's what, I'm a kid. So I'm like, that's what, I guess that's how, what people do. I never did it.
What did Jeff Keller say? Just Paul Mooney is Spanish.
yeah.
Black people this, black people that.
But, you know, like, change it to Mexico. I don't know what Trevino got, I mean, thought.
No,
know,
they weren't there that night, though, right? When it all went down.
And nobody had his back. It seemed like nobody had his back.
I was there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were there, dog.
In the OR when, I was there. Oh, yeah, I mean, wow. I was in the back going, what the fuck is going on here? This is crazy.
Yeah, it was like an assault on that fool, because then that fool went up, the other dude.
Oh,
and then
my God.
They circled that fool. That fool actually just left the mic and fucking walked off. Fuck you!
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the best
karate
thing to
chop
do.
Karate chopped that cameraman.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny, you know, the two dudes that, like, you know, they should have just went at it. Fuck it, dog.
Oh, in a fight?
Yeah, because the other fool would have murdered him, huh?
Oh, my. Not only, have you touched Joe Rogan?
No, I've never touched
him. I've touched him before. Not in a gay way. Like, how's your dick? I never did that, right? But if you shake his hand... Dude, that dude is strong as fuck, bro.
Little gorilla?
Not even just, it's like literally rock. I mean, he would destroy, like break, he would internal bleeding, the whole thing. Metzi would have died.
But can he dance?
Yeah.
But can he dance?
No.
Okay, thank you very
much.
That'd
be 50-50 right there, dude. Yeah.
But can he do a little tango? Can he walk up to a woman and go, would you like to dance in a nightclub? Is he that kind of confidence? Like Joe Diaz, ugly as fuck. To walk up to ladies and talk, is he charming? See, that's the difference. Is he charming? Nah.
You know, you open for a lot of people, right?
A lot of people.
Who, like gay?
Gabriel Iglesias, Russell Peters.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez, right?
Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez.
Those are the good days, huh?
Yeah, man.
I loved opening.
They were giving me money.
Yeah, dude. And
keeping
no
me happy for 2 months. Like, Russell Peters will give you a check and go like, well, are you serious, man? Because normally I get this for a whole week with Gabriel.
Yeah. But he said the pressure's not there, you know? As a headliner, I fucking hate it, dude.
Even
the
pressure, now?
I mean, it's fine, but it's like... You worry about numbers, you worry about who's coming, you know, but like when you're opening, dude, I don't give a fuck. Like, I would kill for like 15, 20 minutes and then like pull pussy out of the room. You
that's
know what
I mean? Stop by the restroom.
Yeah. And you know what Jackson Purdue said? He said, any girl that says to you, you're funny, means that they want to have sex with you. So he said, go by the restroom. Hang lean, you know what I mean? Pretend like, oh no, this is how I usually hang out. And then if some girl goes, hey, I think you're funny, then boom, 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 you're in. You know what I mean? Not for me though. I had a harder time, you know, because I'm so ugly, you know. Not fat, I'm fat.
You gotta stand right there, man. Like, you know, when the headliner's killing it, was like you drink, you know, and you see what people laugh at, then you see somebody get up to the restroom. That's when you sneak walk. Like you go to the restroom like you weren't there, like a pervert watching women get up. You go to the restroom and you catch her going into her, hey, how you doing? You're going back in, then you're on the way out, you catch him again, hey, how you doing?
Okay, calculating.
One time I opened for Polly in Columbus and these two white girls come up to me and they go, we think you're funny. I go, cool, thank you. And they go, hey, we want to blow you. I go, oh, thank you. So we go into a limo, right? That Paulie had a limo there, but he also had a tour bus, right?
Damn.
I'm in a limo while Paulie's on stage, and these two girls are having at it, right? With my little guy, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I hear a door open. I hear this, what about me, dude?
What the fuck, man?
And I go, what? He grabs them by the wrist, pulls them out of the limo, and brings them to his tour bus. Now I'm sitting there with, you know, an erection, crying, anger, tears, resentment, you know what I mean?
Oh, resentment,
and I'm sitting there going, this motherfucker right here. But you can't do nothing because he owns a comedy club in LA. You know what I mean? I'm a regular there. What am I gonna do? Kill him?
The reason you're there.
So you know what I did? I said, you know what? I'm gonna fight for my own. So I went into the tour bus, opened up his room in the back. I sat right next to him. And we both did it, which was weird. But you know what? It's better that than the other thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Murder. You know
instead
what I mean?
Of being drinking off angry.
Yeah.
It was like Willie. Where do I put mine, bro?
And then he taped me. He fucking had a video camera and he started taping me. Until this day, I ask him for that tape. He said no, for blackmail, I think. Because he taped me doing all kinds of weird things in there, man. You know, I shouldn't have done that. That's one of my biggest regrets in life.
Blackmail, I think.
Like, no, I did some like things. I think I slapped a dude because another guy came in. I slapped his ass and stuff. It was like weird. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't know why I brought that up, but you know what I mean? He has that tape. I need that tape.
But that's funny, man. He walks, hey, buddy, how about me?
He grabs him by the wrist, fool, where you control humans, dog.
Yeah.
But that's power, bro.
Hell yeah, that's dog.
Like, you know what? There was still enough. You know, Pauly Shore must have killed, bro, to grab those two chicks like this and pull them out because that fool thinking about numbers up there. Oh, fucking half of this theater's empty. My fucking green room. My green room sucks.
Yeah.
And now Bobby Lee's getting a blowjob.
Yeah.
The Weeze ain't having this, buddy.
I must have made him so angry, huh? You know what? You're right. That's his, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm the opener, and I took what was his.
You're over there biting on his pizza, Bobby.
I know, dude. So I guess it's my bad.
He wasn't going to eat it all, though.
That's right. That's true.
That what happened to Sin, bro. Remember that guy Sin and Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons, dude.
What happened to Gene Simmons?
No, we had a guy here from the band
Ministry.
Ministry, right? And he said that he went to go check out some show, right? And he was making out with some chick right before when the headliner was up there, which is probably Kiss.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, oh, you better hide her, man, if Gene Simmons comes out. But he goes, wait a minute, this fool took, but he took, not only did he take out his chick, he took Gene Simmons' chick too.
Oh, no.
Bobby Lee style. Gene Simmons came out, bro, with his fucking long ass tongue and grabbed her by the arm.
Oh my, he must have been mad too, huh?
I bet.
You know what? I have to apologize right now to Pauly. I just thought about it, dude. It was my bad. That was his property. And I crossed the line. I apologize, man.
But we need the fucking tape.
Yeah, I need the tape.
I don't see that crossing the line, huh?
Nah, fool.
Only if you were in the tour bus, that would be crossing the line.
But think about it this, though, dude. If I was, like, no one knew me at the time, right? And the only reason why these people are there is because of him. Right, so they paid money and stuff, and I'm in the back while he's working, trying to do some snake shit. Even though they offered, you know what I mean? Yeah, I should have been like, you know what? Let's wait for after the show and see what happens. You know?
Nah,
what you
think? Man, I wouldn't know.
You know what? Yeah.
I took it.
Yeah. You take it.
You think about that now, but back then when it's happening, you don't think about it.
Yeah. You're right.
You feel like all of a sudden, what? I'm wearing a fucking cape.
Yeah, man. When people like you, man.
It never happened to me, though, but still.
Also, dude, I never got laid until I was 23. Because I couldn't.
You're not alone, Rodrigo.
I was 25, dude.
You were 25?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, because I couldn't get none. Because I wasn't like, I was so like, I couldn't even look at girls in the eyes. I would shiver, dude, when I saw a girl because I was always small and not that popular and stuff. And like, as soon as I started doing stand-up, It came. And that's the reason why I do it, is that. That was one of the driving motivations of, like, having no money. And also, I'm never going to get laid. And so it's like, whenever it came up, you know, in my early days, I took it, you know?
Hell yeah, dog.
You got to take it when you can.
You got to grab it, bro.
Yeah, I used to not grab it, dog. I'd be like, I'm cool. I don't want a disease. I just came here to do comedy. And then this fool get mad. Get on the dance floor, dog. Come on, they want you, dog.
Like, just stand there, bro.
Wait, you were a virgin then?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow.
So get on the dance floor, bro. There's a lot of guys dancing, but they're going to notice the comedian on the dance floor first.
What was the first one?
The first time I got laid?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude, it was in that show over there that we did in San Jose, dog.
Well, tell me what happened.
That girl had a dragon tattoo.
Yeah, dude, she had a rocking body. Her friend was better, though. That's the one I really wanted. But sometimes you got to settle for what likes you.
Sure.
So the whole time we're going around and Mondo's like, hey, he's a virgin, hey. And then it was cool because the chicks were right next to her. Oh, my God, we got to get a condom.
Yeah, man, this girl running around asking everybody for condoms in the club. In San Jose, nobody had none.
So I fucked her in the electrical room, dog.
No.
For like 30 fucking
minutes.
Wait,
in the club?
Yeah, in the club. We couldn't find
it. I played that room. Where was it? In the back?
The mop room.
Yeah, because they had a backstage room, but people would come in, and I was like, what the fuck? Fuck this, dude.
Yeah.
I ain't a freak like that, you know? Not yet or then.
You raw dogged it?
No, dude. But, yeah, dude. So, and I don't know why I couldn't fucking come, dude, but it was for days. And, dude, I had her doggy style. I had her sit, dude. Fucked up her knees, chipped her toenails on the ground. It was tight, dog. But I felt like, I felt shameful, though, when I walked out. I felt like a beast or something. Yeah. And then she went to sleep in her friend's car.
Oh,
she didn't want to come, back in. She would have fucked Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, dog. Yabba dabba do.
So you didn't climax at all?
Yeah, fool, I came all nasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I took the condom off, fucking started coming in the air and shit.
Oh, it feels so good.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, dude, what
it
the fuck?
It feels so good.
And I never fucked with a condom on another side.
It feels so good.
Yeah, fool, yeah, it was crazy. It was tight, though, dude. It was refreshing, you know?
So then once that happened, you started happen regularly or what?
Yeah, but then I kind of stopped. Like, I was like, dude, fucking nothing but lying ass bitches. And you know what I mean? It gets weird with me. Like, I'm like, fucking, I'm more like, you know, conversationalist. And if I don't like certain shit, fucking smells, looks, and fucking.
Ain't no steam room, huh?
I'm out of here, dog. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm a relationship guy, man.
Yeah, man, I like that shit, dude.
You know?
But I always feel fucking, not dirty, but I always feel empty when they don't come back or you don't, you know, it's like a one night stand type thing. I'm
yeah.
Like, fuck, dude, I'm over
it. It gets gross
dude.
Out there, man. Right?
Yeah. Hell yeah, it is, dog.
It's better to have just a monogamous thing now, you know? I'm 44 now, though, you know? So it's like, what am I going to do? I just better to do this. Then I got a cute girl, a pretty girl, you know? And I met her on Tinder like 2.5 years ago, and but she lives at my house, and she cooks. She's great. You know what I mean? We do the podcast that I'm on. Tiger Belly, you know, that's
Tiger
on
Belly
ATC
podcast?
2. Yeah, on ATC 2. Is like she, it's her and I, you know, co-doing it. So it's 50-50, and it's like, it's a great thing, but I can't go out there and do that no more, man. Can you?
I can't, man. No. I can't worry about
Because you guys are together, right?
I can't.
Married, yeah.
I can't think about it because I was thinking about, man, what am I going to catch this time? I've been lucky too many times not to catch anything,
hell
you know?
Yeah,
I don't want to bring nothing back to my wife. How was the road? It was awesome, man. How was the coast over, though? I can't do that, man.
Over here shining.
Like before, though. I didn't care, man. Like I see over the girls, then I see her. Okay, you never. I see a cold sore. This dirty ass bitch.
Yeah,
but I never thought it was because of me.
Right? No, I know, dog. Fuck that feeling, dog.
How long you guys been married?
Just a year.
A year anniversary.
Right.
Last week. This. Yeah.
9 years.
We're still 9 years. I met at the Laugh Factory.
I remember. Yeah. I mean, you guys been together for a long time. That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
man.
You know, yeah, that's good, dude. You know, it's better because you go on the road, you come home to a great girl, and it's great, you know.
Good
what I mean?
Vegan food.
You guys vegan now?
Yeah, no.
What?
Yeah.
This was like
4 years now.
Wait, you don't eat meat? No meat?
No cheese?
No cheese, no milk, nothing with a shadow.
Wow. You feel great. You look great.
I feel good.
Yeah. Is it because you love animals and stuff?
No, it was my health at first. Started bleeding out of my ass, you know?
Whoa.
Eating too much meat.
Do you really blood coming out of your butthole?
Yeah, man. I was like this mean-ass hemorrhoid. But I didn't know what a hemorrhoid was.
You were low carb.
I was low carb. So I was stuffed up with a lot of protein and no water and no cheese. So just imagine eating steak and cheese every day without nothing, not going to the bathroom.
Wow, dude.
So I had a little baby, man. I was doing Lamaze and everything.
For me, I think I want to go that direction because the thing is that I used to hate animals. Like, I used to try to run kittens over in my car.
My brother Angel right there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't give a fuck. But then my girlfriend had a cat, right? Then the cat moved into my house, and I fell in love with the cat. And then so then I got another cat, and then I got another cat. And now I'm, like, 100% into animals and shit. And it's like, there's this thing every year called the Yulin Dog Eating Festival. You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that every year, and I look at photos. It makes me so fucking angry. And then I thought, I eat cows, you know? And it's like, I have to stop, huh? Because I love animals, you're right?
But you love the cute ones.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's not fair, though, right? We eat the fat, ugly animal, right? And the cute ones we keep alive. That's not fair.
Yeah, hamsters don't get eaten.
Oh, yeah, hamsters don't. No.
They're too cute.
They're too cute, yeah. Yeah, so it's like, I think I'm going to stop, maybe. But how do you do it? Slowly?
Slowly, man. Start with just not drinking regular milk at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just drink almond milk or soy milk or whatever kind
of
milk.
So if you and I, right, went to celebrate, I go, hey, let's go to Morton's. I'll buy you a steak. You won't eat it?
No, man. I sat with Russell Peters at Las Vegas where everybody is eating steak and lobster and garlic bread. Good eating, bro.
Like, hell yeah.
And I'm just looking over there. They're making me a big heirloom tomato with olive oil and garlic and a big mushroom.
Wow. And what are you eating? Like artichokes?
That's what I'm eating.
Oh, that. Wow.
Even when we're over there in McAllen, you had, you know, they baked you and cut you up vegetables and all that shit.
Yeah, tofurkey.
And you don't, in your heart, go like, I want some meat.
Nah.
You're cool with it.
Before I would, you know, like, yeah, I miss a hamburger or a cheeseburger from that train station we always to see you at.
Yeah.
What is that hot dog place called?
Carney's.
Carney's, yeah. When I passed over there, I missed like a steak from there, like a hot dog.
Yeah.
Or nachos.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's really cool, man. I did not know that
fish.
About you. That's great. It was coming for her, right?
No, I started first. She was raised vegan, though, but I started her again.
Wow.
when she met me, when my wife met me, I got her into number five, bro. Jack in the Box chicken spicy sandwich with ranch and cheese and fries and mozzarella sticks. Two in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, I'll be like, fucking high going, man, you know what? I know it's 3 a.m, but that Jack in the Box over there on Glendale is open.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah.
I know that girl.
Oh, fuck.
She has 3 kids.
I'm going to do it, dude. You just inspired me.
Plus, I read a book called Forks Over Knives. And a documentary, Forks Over Knives.
Forks Over Knives.
You read The Omnivore's Dilemma.
And I read The Omnivore's Dilemma. It's a book about it. They explain you how breakfast became breakfast, how everybody decided to eat hot dogs. No, sausage and eggs and pancakes.
Fucking industry, huh?
You know, industry. Yeah. You know, to keep the farmer happy.
And grains.
And all that.
And I don't, like HMOs and all that. I mean, I've been reading up on that stuff. It's bad. I know it's bad for you, dude.
But so are drugs, bro. I used to do them.
Yeah, you don't do drugs anymore?
No, man.
Pot even?
Pot, yeah. But I used to do a lot of crack.
You smoke crack?
Back in the day. But I stopped, what, 5 years ago?
6 years.
Six. It's been in 2009.
Wow. You know, I have 14 years sober. You know that, right?
No.
I'm in AA and everything.
Oh, you told us that crazy-ass story that happened to you on Mad TV, right?
Or where I shit my pants?
Yeah, dude.
You were there when Artie Lang was there or after?
After, huh?
After.
What?
Artie Lang shit his
bed. Artie Lang was all cooked out in that pig face.
Yeah.
Read his book.
Like,
What was your drug of choice? Because you went to rehab when you were younger, though.
Yeah. In high school, 17? I went to rehab twice. And then, well, 3 times. And then when I was on Mad TV, I went to a rehab because they fired me after the second year because of the drugs. And they hired me back.
What were you on?
I was doing like 50 Vicodins a day, drinking 24 hours a day.
God damn.
Yo.
Dude, I fucking hated my life, dude.
What Vikings do to you?
Yeah, fool?
Because when I got on that show, though, it's like...
Haters?
They didn't like me, man.
Because you told me that one time.
Yeah.
I think it was me, him, and Gabe walked up to you. We asked, how was Matt TV? Oh, that main guy's an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, they no one would say hi to me.
Really?
And then, like...
You were like Fred Stoller.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jill Michelle Malion, right?
Yeah.
So they hired us, right? And, like, they hired a couple of white dudes, who they're friends of mine, like Ike and Josh Myers and these guys. And they would be used all the time. And like me and Jill Michelle, because she's Hispanic, we really didn't get it much, right? And we would cry, you know, and like, oh, this sucks. And then she goes one day, I'm going to complain. Fuck this. She went to the top, to the boss, and started crying. And you know how girls sometimes do it, you know what I mean? And but everyone underneath the boss started getting resentful. And then when it came down, they fired her. But me, I didn't say much because I was just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna get loaded. And I just stayed in my dressing room, you know what I mean? And then they wouldn't fire me because there was always after like, because you would work for 6 weeks and then they would renegotiate or whatever. And I would always do one thing to make them go, let's keep them on. Like one crazy thing. I was lucky, but then after the second year, I was like dying, like literally dying. And then they gave me an intervention. Fox and the executive sat me down and said, we can see that you're dying and you need to stop. And I'm like, I'm wearing a sweater, I'm sweating. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll stop. And then they wrote me a Connie Chung sketch, and I've told this story before. And the day before, I had Duncan Trussell come to my house. He took all of my Vicodin and it just ran away. He made me a fish dinner and then drove away. And then that night, I'm like shaking, shitting, you know, I'm scared. And then I go onto the lot to do rehearsals, and I can't believe they didn't fire me during the rehearsal because I couldn't even talk. Like, my mouth was shivering. And then they put the Connie Chung makeup, and they put me in the dress, and they put me on a set, and there's like, you know, 300 people, you know, cameras. The lights go out, and they go, 3, 2, 1, the light come on, right? And I hear action. I go, good evening, and when I said Connie, I shit my pants. And it squirted on my butthole. You know how shit does that?
Damn.
Wet shit?
Wet shit, yeah. It squirted.
Hershey squirts.
Yeah, Hershey squirts. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
And they go, shh, like that. And then all of a sudden, I hear, cut. And then just pandemonium. Like just, you know, white dudes in suits running around me, screaming at people. You know,
oh, my
right?
God.
I'm in like a fucking haze. And I have people like cleaning it up from my stockings. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, I get dragged off of the set. I'm in a dressing room. And then, you know, I'm fired. And then I'm packing up my dressing room. I remember the crying. also sick because I'm still shitting. And then I remember going into my GTI, barely getting home. And then the next day I woke up in a hospital. It was crazy.
Damn.
And they fucking, I got sober. And then 2 months later, they hired me back.
And you had like a one-to-one with Quincy, right? You told us some executive or something, the creator of the show, you had a one-to-one, like, yeah. I'm having a human-to-human conversation.
Yeah, yeah, no, David Salzman, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the guy that owns it. Yeah, Quincy Jones' partner, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You were telling us.
Yeah, he talked to me before they hired me back, and then years later, he came up to me again, he goes, I've never seen such an improvement. Like, you show up, you don't complain, you work hard, and you stay, like, on Monday nights, it's like pitch night. I would just fucking stay there all night long, just, you know what I mean? And not, even if I didn't get shit, I would just go, you know what? I'm gonna fight. You know, and I fought, which was what normal people do. Normal people don't just go, hey, I don't get what I want, I'm gonna fucking, shoot heroin or drink. They go, you know what? I'm gonna fight, but, you know, I didn't do that. But when they gave me a second chance, I did it. And I've been sober 14 years ever since. But my point is that, you know, the life is that way. I fucked up, but I have a disease. That's what they say, and I feel great. I'm glad all that shit happened. What are you looking at me like that for, man?
No, you're a solid motherfucker.
what are you sad now?
Nah, dude.
You just smoke shit.
Nah, that's fucking awesome, dude. It's fucking dude. Fucking crazy shit though, dude. You overcame that shit.
I was just thinking about man. The shit comes I pooped on myself, man. But I'm thinking, wow. Not wearing stockings though, man. So like that means like they gotta pull the stockings off.
Yeah, and it's sticking to the the poop acts as an adhesive.
Yeah, it's like a shit.
Right? So it's like
a little net. Your,
yeah,
it's like
gross.
A cheese grater, a shit grater.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like a little screen, bro.
Shit, Keith.
Like yeah, Keith.
Yeah.
He's cleaning it out, bro. The fuck is the stocking is like shaking it like making gold.
He's panicking.
Keeping the corn now, eh? Wow, so you didn't feel poop the poop coming out?
Well, no, I mean you do, but you think that like it's gonna like not be seen.
Gotta stay in character.
Yeah, you gotta commit. Like, dude, it's like you're on a TV show. You know, you can't go out like, hey, I'm detoxing off a Vicodin and I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Can I try again? Plus, it was like a monologue, and I couldn't even say two words. Like, I couldn't even speak. Like, if I was talking to you, I'd be, I couldn't talk. Yeah. And it's like, but I'm glad all that happened because, we know a lot of guys still out there, in our business. I can't believe some of these guys are still alive.
Me neither.
I mean, we don't want to name names, but, dude, there are some guys where you go, how the fuck are you alive still? And it's really, and they're super talented. And they would have made it if they just would stop. You know, guys that just were God-given talents, and then they still do fucking meth and crack and all this crazy shit, and you're like, wow.
Every time you see them, they're still fucking sweating.
Yeah. But they're still funny, right? Yeah. But then it's like, you're going to get the call, like, so-and-so passed, right? And, like, we've all been there where, like, that happens, and it's just like, but then also you can't do nothing. You can't go up to somebody, a headliner, and go, hey, I think that, what I've done? Like, there's one guy, we all know, I'm not going to name names, but I have yelled at his, like, manager and shit. Like, dude, what are you enabling him for? You're booking him all over the country, right? And, you're protecting him, so that he can make money. But it's like, you shouldn't be working for him at all. You should be like, dude, I cannot work with you until you're sober. Because you're gonna die, but people don't do that in this business.
I know, and you know that, and you know this person is a addict, and why you give him a flight at 6 a.m? You think he's gonna make that flight?
Yeah,
he's gonna wreck his car one day.
Mm-hmm.
Why you give him a flight at noon? You know he's a drug addict. Give him a flight at noon. Don't give him the 6 o'clock flight.
Yeah. Or red eye or something. You know what I mean? But like I've been at clubs where you look at the calendar in the future, and there are question marks. Behind people's names, right? And it's just like, that's it,
I was wondering what those question marks
were.
Yeah,
dog! I was like,
have you seen those question marks?
Yeah, I'm right there getting my check, rolling up a joint, looking at those question marks. This guy had question marks the last club I had.
He's like the Joker.
Yeah. They don't know if they're going to show up,
I know, man, like, Mitch Hedberg has sold out the Baltimore Improv, and nobody had ever sold it out. before he passed away. He had all six shows sold out. God. And then he passed away.
Wow.
Then the Baltimore Improv closed.
Did they really?
Yeah. Now all that left is more goobies.
Wow. That was a tragedy, dude.
Do you know him?
I mean, I met him a couple times. He was always nice, but like, he was just as a, I was a fan.
Me too.
Right? Like, his writing was just so original and clever, and his switches and his, you know, it was just, you'd never seen anyone deliver jokes. And it just, the simplest, you know, I mean, hooks and switches.
His rhythm, too.
Yeah, and
man,
the rhythm was just so unique, and you would get jealous. You would look at him and go, God, I don't know if I could ever, that's amazing the way, you know, it takes balls to do a jokes that are completely different and from the, you know, a deep, dark portion of your mind, you know what I mean, that comes up. Because when young comics start doing it, they mimic other people.
Right.
Right? So it's like when you're opening up for Mencia, you say, fuck, and you know what I mean, all that stuff, right? Because you don't know any better, right? Or you open up for Pauly Shore, you're like, dude, you know, what's that, right? And it's like, but for Hedberg to be like, no, this is me, and I'm going to do it my way, even though it's never been done in this way before, is so fucking, it's like a once in a, like Bill Burr does it now, right? And Bill is like extremely, he's very honest, you know, and some of his stuff is so dark, but it's like he has balls and he just does it. And it's like, you get rewarded for that, you know?
Hit an audience.
Yeah, people, they're there.
They're there to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
To hear the voice, the rhythm.
But, you know, I'm sorry, the podcast got real dark, huh?
Yeah, man.
No, it's all good.
No, it's all good. Do you think a little bit of it had to do with the heroin issue? Did they say, like, it feeds the soul, supposedly?
What do you mean?
For Hedberg?
No.
Nah.
No.
For Vicodin, they feed the soul, bro?
No, I'm coming at you like, you know, when they say, like, musicians, like, good music, fucking bad motherfuckers are always heroin addicts and shit, and it, you know, brings something out of you that fucking you might not have never known was there.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, I know a lot of guys that weren't, you know what I mean, drug addicts and heroin addicts that put out really good albums. You know, who knows? What if that stuff, if they didn't do it, they'd be even better. You never know, right?
Like, that
you
makes
know,
sense, dude.
I mean, you look at, like, the earliest Beatles music, is like, they weren't doing drugs at that time,
right.
You know? But, I mean, they were catchy and poppy, but they were hits. Huge hits. Yesterday, and then it's when the hippie movement came and they started doing Sgt. Pepper's and Abbey Road and all this stuff. Yeah, they were, like, you know, drugs. And, you know, it reflects in the music, but still, it's like, you still don't know, right? And it's like, for me, it's like, you know, I want people to live. Don't you?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Fuck all that. Death is fucked up.
Yeah. Like
especially early death.
You know Christopher Nolan, right? The director, he did Dark Knight.
Yeah.
That fool doesn't do crack, but he puts out great movies, dude. You know? You can't do crack and direct a movie, I don't think.
No, you probably can't.
Yeah, yeah. you have to show up, you know?
No, I never looked at it that way. That's
yeah,
just,
man, you gotta.
Makes sense.
You can't be a director on crack. Everybody, what if you yell out, cut? You're staring at the floor looking for crack. Oh, yeah, cut. Yeah.
That motherfucker going, huh?
So, when did you first audition for the Comedy Store? Did you audition at the La Jolla or the big Comedy Store?
What do you mean?
How many times you showcased for Mitzi?
I didn't showcase, dude.
No?
No, I was working at
a shoe-in.
No, it was I was working at a coffee shop in La Jolla.
Okay.
Dude, and I didn't even want to do comedy, right? I went to the coffee shop. This is in 1994, and I got a job at the coffee shop. Next door was the La Jolla Comedy Store. I go to work one day, it says closed. Forever. The coffee shop. Because that back then, you had no cell phones, right? So it's like no one called me or nothing. I just showed up and like, oh my God, I need money. What the fuck am I going to do? But next door, they had a help wanted sign. We need bar backs. So I went to the Comedy Store. And I used to get change from the manager there. So they kind of knew me. I knocked, like, hey, can I get the job? I got the job there. I started washing dishes in the back. And I looked at and I saw open mics. And in my head, I'm like, I think I can do it. And I did it. And it was okay. You know, I didn't kill, but I went up there. And it was, you know, when you first go up on stage, you get so fucking nervous, you know what I mean? And then you're up there and the lights are so bright, you shake a little bit, you know what I mean? And then it's also like you don't know how to, what's coming out of your mouth isn't how you rehearsed it. Because your mouth is so dry. Too,
hell yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean? How scary it is. Do you remember? And then all of a sudden, you know, remember the first time you got a laugh? That's the fucking best, dude. That's like better than sex. When you actually write something and you tell it in the right way and the audience laughs for the first time, literally was like a drug to me. I was gleeful.
That's mad beauty, dude.
Right? You leave the club on a high, and you try to call people, but they don't understand.
I remember those days.
Yeah. Right? You remember when you were on the TV for the first time and people used to call you?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I saw you.
I saw you, bro.
Yeah, on TV. And now you do shit, no one calls.
Nobody calls.
No one calls.
Not one person calls, bro.
Dude, I was on NCIS Los Angeles this year. I played like a bad guy, and I did the premiere episode, right? I got it okay, but like no one called me. They were like, this is the biggest show in the world right now. No one called me. My parents didn't see it, nobody saw it. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck anymore, right? I've done a bunch of shit, but in the beginning, dude, I missed those old days. Getting laughs, and that was good enough, you know?
I remember when I first did comedy, I had a little tape recorder, the little one with a little disc.
The little micro cassette?
Micro cassette. And remember, I did the open mic and I recorded it, and then I was listening to laughs. I was like, what? I kept rewinding it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And then I remember showing it. I went to the neighborhood where I grew up, the projects, and then there was some homies there selling crack, and I just played it. I let the homie hear it, and that fool said, oh, this is funny, big dog.
Yeah.
Shit, but Paul Rodriguez ain't got shit on you, homie.
Yeah.
Because he don't know, right?
Yeah, you know.
He only heard 4 minutes. But yeah, man, I felt good. And then, and I remember I would call people, go, yeah, man, it went okay. I don't call nobody anymore.
Yeah. I hate when comics tape themselves and they think they're killing and they're not.
Ugh.
You know that with the guy? Hey, dude, check it out, dude.
Tony Sanchez.
You know a guy?
Joey Diaz told him, hey, bro, turn that fucking recorder off. You're going to fucking torture the gay club sucker.
Oh, yeah, or they're listening to you in the car on the drive back after leaving the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you know he bombed.
You know he bombed.
Just ask me, motherfucker. Yeah. I was there.
And they hear this, and they think that's a big laugh. Check it out. Look at that. Hey.
No, that's not a laugh. Getting choked, dog.
Yeah, he's clearing his throat, dude. That ain't a laugh.
You're choking this motherfucker, dog.
Yeah.
Or that same motherfucker that bombs all the time is going to try to tag up your joke right now. Listen, boom shakalaka.
Yeah, that's the worst, dude. Well, I have a lot of pet peeves like that. Like, you know what I hate? When young comics, when they do open mic, they ask the DJ or the sound guy to play a music, and then they go up on stage and they do a funny dance up on stage, right? And then when the music stops and they tell the jokes, they're so out of breath they can't tell it. I fucking hate that shit.
That's me.
What, you used to do that?
Nah. But I remember whenever they put a song and then like there'll be a guy who like, I know one comic that has the same song go up all the time. And he also does the same thing after the song. Man, turn that shit off.
Yeah.
You've been playing the same song for 20 years.
This American turn that shit off. Him, dog. The fuck?
You playing that shit because I'm black? Like, you told me before the show to play it.
Yeah, I fucking hate that shit, dude.
Fake ass setups.
Yeah.
Or they walk up, or they go like this, or they get the long ass intros of shows. He was on E&E, even at the Improv.
Fucking decade is
a lot of people make up shit that we're on. Like,
you go to
any fucking comedy show that's not at the four main clubs, all the logos are there from stuff nobody in those shows were on.
Oh, wow.
Mad TV,
Comedy Central,
Comics Unleashed, Last Comic Standing.
Or you go to a club in the Midwest that you've never been before and you look at the headshots. I feel so fucking depressed because it's like there's 1,000 heads. You never heard of anybody. I tried. And it makes me so sad.
Atlanta Punchline has those photos.
Yeah.
El Paso Comic Strip. You used to see all those photos, and I remember seeing, wait a minute, that looks like Larry the Cable Guy, but it didn't have Larry the Cable Guy on it. It was like a different name.
Diana Whitney, man.
Something like that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Or you see a comic, this fool used to have hair? Or some of these guys are like managers now. Never knew when you. I never liked this motherfucker.
Yeah. There you go.
Or then there are guys that like do big numbers and you never heard, like Hamburger. Remember Hamburger?
Hamburger.
Yeah. Or Chucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Yeah, Quack.
Oh,
like,
damn.
You don't know about these people or Chinaman.
Chinaman, Mark Britton.
Mark Britton.
He sells out everywhere.
Right.
I didn't even know he was Paulo Francisco's roommate.
Yeah, he, in fact, you know what I heard? That Mark Britton taught Pablo how to do impressions.
No way.
Yeah, because they were roommates.
Really?
He taught him to do Schwarzenegger, taught him to do, you know, some voices, you know, because, you know, Pablo has that talent, but, like, you know, Mark brought it out of him. You know, that's what I heard. But Mark Britton is half Asian, and to go up as Chinaman is fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Because number one, Chinaman is like the N word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's like calling you, like, you know,
beaner,
wetback.
Spick. Wetback, yeah.
Wetback. You know what I mean? And then people are clapping. Yay! Wetback is here.
Fucking, you know, awesome wetback.
N word. You know, it's like, I can't believe, and he's half. So he's like Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is just as Asian as Mark Britton. And then he changed it to Kid Walk.
Kid Walk?
Yeah, yeah.
Who? Mark Britton?
Yeah, yeah.
But you ever seen him perform?
Nah,
dude,
never.
He used to have a beanie that looked like a Chinese man hat, and then a long ponytail, bro. And he'll go up on stage like this, hey, ah! And he had the little Fu Manchu mustache.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know it's racist when no Asians come out to see that shit.
No one.
It's all white people.
And he's killing it.
Fucking
and
minstrel
going, God
show.
God damn it,
huh?
Man, I love that Chinese guy. You know? And they're like, no, it's fucking racism.
He'll be at the loony bin.
But he's made a lot of money, dude.
A lot of money, man.
A lot of money.
Damn, dude.
Well, you got to do what you got to do, man. I mean, I like the guy. You know? I do, but it's like, you know, I remember one time, a long, long time ago, I was like, yeah, I came to L.A. I couldn't. You know what I mean? It didn't work out for me. Because your name is Chinaman. And I'm pretty sure that's offensive to executives and people that run show business.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, yeah, man. I'm trying to get my comedian book. What's his name? Chinaman? Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. But he changed.
Or Doodoo Brown. What's your comedian name? Talent.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
It's hard when a comedian to have crazy nicknames, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Funny man.
Funny
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Or the funny lady. Oh, that lady was funny. There used to be this lady, this fat. Yeah. You ever seen a funny lady? This black comedian? No.
Come with a bag on.
That was her name?
Yeah, the funny lady. And she used to have props. She used to bring out props. Dude, the funniest joke she had was, he goes, man, y'all trying to kick off Mexicans? If y'all want to kick off every Mexican, who's gonna wear these boots? And then she took out the smallest little Mexican boots she could find and she put them up on stage. They were like these little Mexican boots. And the fucking crowd would die, man.
Lost their fucking mind, though.
Who's gonna fucking wear the little motherfucking boots?
That's fucking, that's real? Oh, man. That's real.
That's
yeah.
That doesn't sound real.
Yeah, she was the funny lady, dude. Yvette. And dude, Jay Masala saw her one night at the Laugh Factory on Sunday in Long Beach, and he couldn't believe her act, that she brought out those little boots and all those, the long tongue. A lot of men want their ass eaten, and she'll turn around and have a long-ass tongue. And man, he looked at me, he goes, buddy, who booked her?
Wow.
And he walked up to the promoter and goes, I don't want to see her ever again.
Wow.
How about a Thanksgiving? Could she eat?
Wow.
Welcome to show business.
And you think she knew that he said that?
No, she didn't know that. Now she knows.
Now she knows. Oh, that must be heartbreaking, dude. That's heartbreaking.
But she's hilarious. I don't know what Jamie's problem was.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Tanya Lee. What's it, Tanya Lee Harding, the midget?
Oh, yeah, Tanya Lee.
Tanya Lee, right?
She had to put the underwear over her face.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
a comedy store regular, right?
Or yeah, she was. Yeah, I opened for her a couple times back
really?
In the day, and I'd have to carry her. It's so embarrassing when you have to carry an adult.
Because she's drunk or what?
No, like upstairs, like when you're the only guy and she can't, you know, because she has a wheelchair and stuff, right? That you have to carry her up the stairs, and she's fucking heavy, dude. You thought midgets would be your light? No.
Nah,
so you're carrying all up stuff, and like I just thought to myself, I can never do this again. It's too much work for nothing. Because, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's bad enough doing merch and stuff. But we have to carry your headliner?
It's like opening up for Chris Fonseca.
Oh, dude. He fucking...
I've carried that fool before, huh?
He lives in Denver.
I helped him too, man.
And he did a guest spot? Oh, my God.
He brought merch, huh?
Not only that. I mean, I couldn't understand. No one could.
You got fucked up?
Yeah. I mean, it was...
Fucking fiasco.
He's sober now.
Oh, he is?
He's sober
good.
5 years.
Oh,
four
good.
Years,
good,
four
good,
years.
Good, 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 good.
Dude, I remember Chris Fonseca was so loaded that these black security guards were trying to get him inside the van to drive him to the hotel, and the police passed by. And they thought these two black guys were robbing this guy, and they just knocked him out unconscious.
That's
so
real?
So the security guard telling me, man, the cop pulling that gun, said, you better let go of him. I said, what you do? Let go of him, let him fall.
Did they do that?
Yeah, they let him fall, and then they waited, and then they said, well, he's a comedian, we're trying to help him.
Yeah.
Are you sure? And he goes, he's not saying anything. He goes, he can't even say anything.
But how does he get drunk? I mean, somebody has to go get the shit for him, right?
No, there's beer at the club.
Yeah, but at home, if he wants to get drunk, what happens?
I don't think he gets drunk at home.
Oh, it's only at the clubs?
Probably.
Yeah, no. Where it's cheaper, is free.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, but he's not an alcoholic then?
He was.
So he must have got some stash at home. But I don't know how that happens. Can he, like...
He has a helper. He'll have an assistant.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And most of the assistants that we had were girlfriends.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And they have to blow him and stuff up. So gross. Is that bad for me to say that?
No, but they do.
I used to say that.
But the way they have sex with Chris Fonseca is that they get him naked, his assistant gets him naked, and then he puts the chick on top of him, and then he pushes him down the stairs.
It's a quickie, though.
It's a quickie.
It's a quickie. You know who Willie Tyler and Lester is?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw one of his original puppets the other week.
Oh, you did?
Roger Paul's office.
Oh, wow. You know, he told me a story once. It made me so gross. He was making love to a woman, because he's a puppet act.
Yeah.
So he was, after a gig, a girl was in this room, and she wanted Lester to be on the edge of the bed, his puppet. So he's like, you know, me tagging her, and then Lester's on stage on the bed like that. How creepy is that shit, dude?
That's what's up, man.
Ain't no fun.
Hey, man. I thought you were real funny, but if that puppet ain't there, we ain't fucking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where's the little guy at?
Wow, that's taking fame to the next level. Wow.
That's his partner.
They're going to get a puppet, bro. Get your little devil puppet. Yeah.
So how much time can you do now?
Me?
Yeah.
I could do 30 minutes, but I can do 40.
You can?
45, yeah.
So but, you open for Felipe?
I open for Felipe.
Yeah.
Okay. On the road, you know, do my little gigs and shit.
If you ever need extra, I need some features, you know. I always have feature work. Is that cool? Though?
Yeah, whatever, man.
No, you're one of those guys that...
I want everybody to eat.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, don't be offended.
I won't be like, hey, bro, where you going over there, bro? I'll be like, Willie Barcena, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, bro,
you're taking my openers,
here,
bro. Nah, man, Rodrigo's a good guy. Take him, bro. He don't even drink or nothing.
You don't?
No.
A little bit of smoke, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You can smoke him, man. I don't give a fuck.
You don't drink at all. I remember at the Laugh Factory, Laugh Factory Christmas party many years ago.
Yeah.
There was alcohol there. You were kind of nervous.
Yeah, I used to get nervous, man.
I still get kind of nervous if I'm at a place where it's not a comedy show, or it's like not a comedy show and there's alcohol there. I start to get nervous. You know, okay, I'm just a regular motherfucker right here.
Yeah. But the problem with me, though, is like I don't like to talk to people sometimes after the show because I'm kind of small. And it's like, people get aggressive with me.
Or lift you and shit,
they'll lift me.
They be like, lifting this fool, dog.
Yeah. They're like, hey, man, you're funny. And they'll grab me by the neck and pull me up like that. And I'll be like, dude, let me go. You know what I mean? Or they'll hit me from behind.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, you. China guy. And they'll hit me like that. And I'm so small.
And the security guard not doing shit,
They don't do shit.
They don't do shit. Just watch.
Yeah.
They let it all happen.
Oh, and in the showroom, especially, dude. I was in Miami once. I'm on stage. A girl had her titty out. And she was doing this with her tongue. Like dancing, kind of like that. It's like not during music. I'm telling jokes.
Right there, sitting in her
fucking
seat.
Yeah, and they just keep doing it, and then you yell at people, and they go, hey, they're having fun. You go, no, dude, this is like, bro, this is like a play, right?
It's a fucking show.
If you go to see Wicked, right, and you pull out your titty and start going like that, they're
going
to kick you out. Right or no? I've never been to Wicked, but you know.
Yeah, they'll kick you out.
They'll kick you out, right? Yeah, but in a comedy club, it's okay.
Yeah.
Decent exposure right there. Fuck it.
Or one time I was in Chicago and I get backstage, and I feel bad for saying this, but there was a 400-pound white chick naked in my room.
Ugh.
Right? And she had her pudgy vag out and everything.
Fuck
yeah. They're divine, bro.
What?
We had a guest. Her name was Desiree Devine, and she's a BBW porn star.
Oh,
she's huge.
She's huge. Big vagina.
She's 6 foot two also.
Oh yeah.
So what happened? Who sent her there?
No, she snuck in the back.
How the fuck is she sneaking?
I know.
She was dressed as the curtain.
Came with the fucking badge on.
She was dressed as the green room, bro.
Yeah. I looked at her, I go, get the fuck out of here right now.
Shut the fuck up.
Icky wiki.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Hell no.
I can't even sometimes get hard like in front of like, I can't, you know, a hot chick. Sometimes I have problems mentally, you know? Like one time I was in Toronto before my girlfriend, she was hot, and I took my clothes off. I couldn't get erect or nothing. You know what I mean? So if it's a fat and ugly, there's no way I can.
No way, man.
Fuck, that fool's gonna hide, fool.
I'm jaded. Like during my, you know, since I was 24, you know, I've been in it. You know what I mean? Knee deep. So now I'm so jaded that like it's gotta be good.
Oh, really hell good. Yeah.
It's gotta be pure. You know? And so it's like, you know what I've been doing?
What?
I've been stopped watching porn. You can't watch porn no more. You know why? You can get porn erectile dysfunction. You know what that is?
What?
It's kids now in their 20s that were raised with the internet. They're so inundated with porn.
Anything they wanted, anything.
Right. Dolphins, monkeys. They don't give a fuck, right? And now
with chicks with dicks.
Yeah, chicks with dicks. And when they see now a real girl and they're in a situation, they can't get erect because of all the porn they watched. It's a real problem now. Like Men's Health Journal did a fucking article about it. So what I do is like I stop watching it.
I'm a case study here.
Like, do you still masturbate to porn?
Every day.
Have you ever caught him?
When I'm not in town, though. Not when I'm at home.
Oh, at home, yeah. No. Like, when you're on the road, you have to kind of sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At home, I got to ask, you know, where are you going right now? What are you calling back?
He said, I got to ask.
Yeah. But do you
check this roller route, man. There's a lot of traffic. check for a girl. There's a lot of traffic there.
You belong to a site, or you just go like you don't care. Like you.
I don't care, man. I know which ones are free, and that's it.
Hell yeah.
Xvideo, Pornhub. I don't want to promote them, you know.
Yeah.
I go to Bang Bros first to find out who's new, and then I look them up over there at all.
But for Bang Bros, you have to pay for that, right?
No, man.
Hell no.
You find out who's new.
Oh, because
you find out Bang Bros probably has the newest chicks.
Yeah, yeah.
You go there, find out her name.
Yeah.
And you go to Pornhub, you find out her real history.
Tag it.
You find that chick when she had no boobs.
I got specific with my porn. Like, I couldn't do porn if it wasn't like a first timer. And then they also have to like talk beforehand, like ask questions, like, so what made you want to do this?
Casting
I don't
calls.
Know. I need them. Yeah, casting calls, right?
The back room.
And then I started getting twisted, and I couldn't get off unless. You know, when the penis goes in for the first time, in their eyes, you have to see them question their decision.
The windows of the soul.
Yeah.
Right?
They have to go, Mom, in their, you know what I mean? Like, why did I do this? You know, I couldn't get off if it wasn't like that. And when it gets specific like that, you have a fucking problem. You know?
Damn.
It's kind of like.
I need tears, bro.
And I need clean
it.
Like I know what he's talking about, because when I'm watching that porno and they're talking to that girl, and then finally like remember that one the casting call porno, I don't watch it that much no more because that I laughed too much at that one scene where the girl was getting it, and then she finally says, "Well, now we're gonna, you know, a lot of these movies, you know, they're looking for girls that could do anal. Are you willing to do anal?" Right? And she goes, all right, yeah. But you know she didn't want to, right?
Yeah.
But then she did it.
Yeah.
And you could tell she about to get sad, and then somehow the guy who did the porno, she's about to get sad, and then she fucking switched her face to a puppy face. I couldn't stop laughing, bro.
Cut.
Can't watch it no more. Because she had that sad face because she was about to get anal.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was in pain. And you could see her face going like, Then that guy switched her face to a sad puppy. Yeah, he made her an emoji, bro. Because you know that would have turned guys off.
Yeah.
So he goes to Benji here. Oh, you know who told me about that clip? Ha ha! Chris Thorin, another of a glue opener. You should check him out
what?
On the Bay. He has a
Chris tight Thorin? Story.
Chris Thorin.
All right, I can look him up.
Yeah, man. He's perfect. Well, how tall is he?
Like 5'6".
He's a funny guy, man, from the Bay.
He's little.
Yeah, we call him Ha-Ha.
Ha-Ha. Why, a Mexican?
No, he's half Mexican, half Irish.
Oh, cool.
Very cool guy. His dad is from Oklahoma City. His dad's a big promoter.
Speaking of Irish, you guys watch the fights this weekend?
No, I don't watch the fights.
You don't watch MMA?
I do, but...
I watch the knockout little thing.
I don't have cable.
Well, you got money, though, dude.
No, I don't like...
You're not into that shit, huh?
I don't have the time.
You don't like watching people fight?
No, man. Because once they start cutting and say, you know what, I don't got to fight no more. Because in a real fight, man, you're trying to squeeze that guy's dick off. You're trying to bite it off. Bite an ear.
What kind of fighting are you watching, man?
I watch street fights, you know?
Oh, yeah,
I don't like fights.
Kimbo
where,
slice shit.
You know, where I look like it's set up. Like that fight with the Irish guy, I thought that fight was fixed for him to win, you know?
You think so?
Yeah, Ronaldo? Man, you know, because the white man got to be on top, you know?
I think
like, I believe what Mayweather said, that UFC was started so white people could be champions again. Because for real, there hasn't been a white
that's
heavyweight
really
champion.
Funny.
There hasn't been a lightweight champion that's white. There hasn't been a white good fighter since fucking...
Nah, but dude, they have John Jones, man. They got some, like, you know, some Brazilians that are really good, dude. You know, and can I just say this, dude? It's like, they have women.
Those women are badass.
They're badass, you know? It's like, you know, Johanna Jędrzejczyk, she's a strawweight champion. She's a fucking beast, bro. And I just love women. I'm into that movement, you know what I mean? And I just love watching everyone fight.
The Ronda Rousey fight?
Yeah, I love that fight. But the lighter weights are fucking fun too, man, you know?
I think the lower the weight, the more they fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just faster and shit.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch, dude, you know? But, you know, you have your own thing, dude. I'm not judging you, dude.
I can't watch it, man. Yeah. I always feel like it's rigged, you know? Yeah. I don't like that the whole UFC is made up of one guy only. You know, one guy has to tell you who fights, when they fight. It should be like like boxing, man. If you ain't good, you ain't gonna fight.
Yeah. Or you think fighters should set it up? Just call other fighters, like, I'm gonna fight you, dude. And the guy's like, all right. And then they call Dana White and go, we're gonna do this.
That'd be
better, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's where you get the whole setup thing, because it seems like it's a dictatorship and not like a commission or something.
Yeah.
And then the UFC fighters don't even get paid as much as a regular boxer.
That's
They're bringing in tons
true.
Of money.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
fucking true, dude.
Like, I think that Ronda Rousey fight, totally, they should have got at least $30 million, like $15 million each, which is not a lot of money.
You know what they also did, dude? That now Reebok sponsors the whole thing. So, you know, fighters used to have, like, sponsors.
Their
they
merch.
Could put it on their stuff, right? They can't do that no more. So
what?
They can get sponsorship money.
On their own,
right? So it's got to be Reebok. Everything has to be Reebok. And so, like, a lot of fighters that relied on their sponsors can't do that anymore. So then they end up doing stuff like, show up at this club and we'll do a meet and greet and we'll pay you some extra money, which is, like, fucking bullshit.
Pop some bottles and shit.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. So that is right, dude. You're right about that. Because if they got a bigger, they deserve way more money.
I know, man, getting your fucking head knocked in.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Forever, dog.
You're sacrificing your life and this and that. It's like, look at every other sport, like fucking soccer. I mean, people in America
Tons.
Don't like it, but like in fucking Cristiano Ronaldo can own a country. Messi can own a country, you know what I mean? And in that specific sport, like other people, white people are making money. It's fucked up. You're right. So I'm going to stop watching. You fucking just got me, dude.
Yeah, man.
Awesome, dog.
You changed me, dude.
What's up, fool?
Hell yeah.
What's the name of your podcast? So people
Tiger know? Belly, dude.
Tiger Belly. You and your lady?
Yeah, me and my lady, dude. And it's been fun, man, you know? And yeah, I want to say this, too. Can I say this?
Say it.
I've always, you know, I loved you always, man. I've always liked you. I've always thought that this guy is such an original, you know, voice. And he's such a good dude. I've known you since fucking the beginning, dude.
Yeah, man.
Like, how long have you been doing it?
Since 96.
Yeah, 95. I knew him since the beginning. Him, when Gabe was nothing, when, you know, we were back when Jeff Garcia was around and all these people. And I'm going to say this. Back then, when I started, there was no, like, Asians doing it. Margaret Cho was pretty much the only one. So the Hispanic community brought me in. They brought me to the Latino Laugh Festival. I did
Que
Loco, Funny is Funny, and all those shows. And it was through that culture that I got into show business, and I've always loved Felipe, so I really appreciate you having me on the show, dude, because I need the help, and you know what I mean, and you know, I called, or you called, and we got together, and I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, dog.
What's up, fool? I'm gonna give a shout out to these people on Twitter. Okay. I need my glasses, Bobby Lee. Cocksuckers. All right, people. Here we go. That's too far. Okay, Jesse, fuck and James on Twitter. What's up, girl or guy? All the way listening from South Carolina. Shout out to Debbie in San Antonio at Texas Deb 70 on Twitter, who listens at work and always spreads the word about us online. Also, Amazon search window on our website. Just search for an item in the search window on our homepage at philippesworld.com, and the podcast gets a little kickback without costing you anything. You should put that on your webpage too.
I'm gonna, yeah.
Because every time somebody goes shopping for something and they go to Bobby Lee Live. .com, that's your webpage, right?
Yeah.
And you have a little Amazon search window. They could go over there and buy Rodrigo's t-shirts.
Yeah, man.
You got t-shirts, but, right?
Yeah, man. Fool.
Or you got merch, fool. All right, fool. I'm going to be at the Chumash Casino tonight and tomorrow, December 18 and 19, Ontario Improv, New Year's Eve weekend, December 31st through January 3rd. Kansas City Improv, January 14th through January 17th. If you're in Kansas City, come check us out. I'm bringing Rodrigo Torres and Chris Torino. You can find these shows at fans@philippesworld.com and mention you are interested in tickets for the Kansas City shows.
They can get free tickets for Kansas only.
Only free tickets for Kansas City Improv. Man, don't try to hit me up for any other shows in California. It ain't going to work. Rancho Cordova, that's right. I don't get booked at the Punchline anymore because they don't know what's up at the Punchline in Sacramento or San Francisco. Fuck them. Fuck the booker, whoever books the show. They don't know shit. They don't believe in Felipe Esparza. So I'll be at the Rancho Cordova, Tommy T's, January 21st through January 24th. If you own a small business in the area and want to help promote these shows in exchange for free tickets, hit us up at fans@philippeworld.com. And I'll put a poster on your business, and you'll get free tickets for Thursday or Sunday.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, man. What's up, fool? What you got coming up?
I'm at the Fort Lauderdale Improv this weekend, dude. You got to come out because I get like crazy kind of. I'm going to show my genitals.
You still get naked on stage?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
If you know, when you're getting back to people trying to carry you, man, I seen some photo of motherfuckers carrying you, bro.
I know.
Now I know that you don't want to be carried.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Some guy tried to carry me.
I'm 44,
day.
Dude.
Some guy tried to carry me, and I'm like, dude, are you serious, bro? You know, if you hurt your back, you can't sue me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just the guy.
I didn't think of that, dude.
So the guy did carry me, man. Almost dropped me.
At the end of that goddamn comedy jam, some guy looked at Brad Williams, and I was like, I don't think he likes
it. He doesn't like it.
You know, the guy lifted. Oh yeah, it was the guy picked him up. Like, really, man? I don't think people like to get lifted.
No.
Nah.
Only women like to get lifted. If you're a little girl, come on, man. You were lifting a woman to the stairs.
Yeah, and people, dudes get offended, too. Like,
oh, you want to touch your face. Yeah, you're a guy. A guy don't even touch my face.
Don't touch my face, dude.
Little greasy paws on you.
Women want to touch my hair.
Yeah.
Or now you got to put you ever happened to you? You put your hair next to somebody, you take a photo with them, and you come home with lice.
This whole shit hopping. Oh, and don't forget, we got beanies now.
We got beanies, people. We got the What's Up Fool beanies. We got a sale going on our webpage. 25% off your whole order when you order at least $20 and use the code word Xmas with an X at checkout. Sale ends this Sunday, December 20. Order by December 20th and get your order by Christmas Eve. Wow, man, 12 years sober. I was sober 10 years. I was sober 14 years.
Wow.
I was sober 10 before I started doing stand-up.
Really? Like in like programs and stuff?
Yeah, I was in rehab.
Oh, wow.
Live Again Recovery Home in Saugus, California.
Damn.
Now you just smoke pot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that. It's good.
Yeah, but man, I know that when you fell off the wagon, man, that you go straight to being hardcore right away.
Yeah, dude.
That's fucked up. People don't... we have a lot of listeners, man, who are gonna enjoy your story, and a lot of our listeners are ex addicts, and they always think that you're gonna go back and start. Oh, that was always my mistake, that I could just go back and just doing one bump every Friday.
Yeah.
But that's your mind trying to convince your drug, because in our head, our drug addict person still lives there trying to get out, huh?
Yeah.
This fool is trying to get out all the time.
What they say is like if you shot like you know like let's say you did 60 Vicodins a day, right, and then you got sober for 20 years, when you relapse 20 years later, it's in a week you'll be up to 60 again. It does. Your tolerance doesn't go down.
It's always gonna stay there.
It's gonna stay there, and that's it's all waiting for you.
Oh my
that
God.
Monster is waiting for
and
you.
And that's what kills motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's why I know that if I you know, I'm fucking 44. If I relapse right now, I'll be dead.
Me too.
I know my body couldn't do it.
Me too, man. I'm fucking 47, man. If I would do like a feel, man, what if I just do one bump?
Nah, you don't know.
Just a little one.
No.
But then you can't really take it, huh?
Fuck no.
Damn, just fucking me up.
That's just a little light waiting for a fucking forest fire to start, dog.
You have kids?
Yeah.
How many?
Three.
Oh my, you have three kids?
No, I had this when I was in high school.
Wait. You had three kids in high school?
No, yeah, one kid in high school and then the other ones, but I've always had them. I lost them when I went into rehab.
No, but are they in your life now?
Yeah, one of them is my life. And the other one I text, and the other one I like his posts. And I'm not lying.
Yeah. That's good.
Word.
That's my dude. That's awesome. Hey, come on.
One, I like his posts. One texts me, and the other one I just, you know.
Communicate.
On his birthday, I send him a little package.
Yeah.
And I have a stepson, yeah, Miklo.
Miklo. And how old is Miklo?
11.
Miklo lives with you guys.
Yeah. He's 2, but I've known him, he's 11, I've known him 9 years.
What does he call you?
Felipe.
He used to call him Guy.
He used to call me Dad when he gets happy, when I won last Comic Standing.
He used to call you Guy, though.
When he first met me, hey, Guy.
Oh, wow. But when you won last Comic Standing, he started calling you Dad?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nah, every once in a while, like there's a bunch of kids around, he'll tell, that's my stepdad. He's proud, man.
Yeah, he'll tell the little kids, oh, those are my parents right there. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like, cool. when you think around little white friends or somebody mentions something like, oh, my dad's Mexican. Oh, my stepdad's Mexican. Oh,
man.
He told me about Tapatio. I remember one time he went to a birthday party at a birthday party, right? And they had tacos there. And then everybody was watching him because that motherfucker rolling tacos like a fucking taco bender, bro. Like, he was rolling the best taco. They go, where did he learn that? Well, I don't want to brag.
Wow.
He got skills.
He gets good grades and shit?
Yeah, I'm raising my own cosigner, bro.
It's okay? Yeah.
He hates school.
You have kids?
No, dude.
You gonna have any?
Well, I want one, but the thing is that I don't know, man. Because, like, I don't know if it works anymore, you know? I gotta try it again. Can I try it again?
Try it, bro.
Yeah. I want one with this girl. It's the first time I've ever I do want one with this girl. I'm just scared, dude. I'm scared because it's like...
The responsibility is
going
to bring?
No, because I play like, you know, I play Fallout 4, you know, that game?
Yeah.
On Xbox, you know, I play like 12 hours a day. And I play Destiny, like I logged in 14 hours of Destiny, that game. So it's like, I play so much video games, I don't think that I can do it, right?
Get ready to give life to a little prodigy.
Destiny is it's a long game, huh?
Yeah, you have to also do fire team. So me and Eric Griffin, until 2 in the morning till 9 in the morning, would play Scream. You mean, and it's like, it's just a lot of responsibility. So if I had a kid, then I'd probably have to negotiate, like, I can only play for 5 hours.
Damn.
Right? So, I don't know if I'm willing to do that, but maybe.
It's a commitment.
I mean, I have, you know, I've saved up some money. I could do it financially, but I don't want to fuck them up either, dude. Dude, my childhood, I did all kinds of weird shit. I blew my cousin. I got drunk when I was 11. I blew my cousin.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
11, you got drunk?
Yeah. I just weird shit.
How old are your cousin?
11.
Experimenting, bro.
Happened a couple of times, dude. I'm embarrassed by it. You know what I mean? But no, I remember, like, we drank Everclear.
Damn. Right,
at like 13. And then.
Probably would make you blow somebody, dog.
No, at 3 in the morning, I just remember doing 69 and then like flashes of it. And then we woke up naked in a field. You know what I mean? Yeah, because my parents were so busy with their businesses, they didn't give a fuck about us. And then I've done weird shit like that. I mean, I'm not gay. I don't care about... Well, you're looking at me funny, dude.
Oh, no, I'm
you're
just listening.
You're looking at me like, what the fuck is this
shit?
No.
I'm trying to be real.
He's talking about Pauly Shore still smacking that ass.
Grabbing those wrists.
I've done some weird things as a kid. And I just, also, like, I was molested by a guy with Down syndrome. My dad used to beat me.
No, you were molested by a guy with Down syndrome?
Well, excuse me?
You were molested by a guy with Down syndrome?
I said that, yes. I was, yes. Why?
No, just tripping now.
That's
a convincing motherfucker, bro. Yeah. Sit down.
Yeah. I mean, because.
Starts petting you and shit.
When you're molesting somebody, you have to manipulate them like, yeah. You want some candy. This guy just went, and I did it.
Oh, you just jerked him off?
Yeah. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm just picturing my Chris Fonseca in my head right now. You want to open?
You want some Cheetos?
Yeah.
But my tan was orange. Ooh.
You know what I mean? So you go through, I had all this dark stuff happen, you know?
Crazy like, dark stuff.
And I don't want that for my kid. I want my kid to not experience, you know? But you know what it is, dude? It's me, right? Like, it's not like I put myself in certain situations. I acted in ways as a kid. I put myself there. Maybe that's it too. Oh, but my dad was an alcoholic and he did hit me a lot. So that wasn't me, you know? That's not my fault. No, that's not my fault.
Yeah, man, it's your fault.
It is?
It is your fault.
Oh, yeah.
But you want when you have a kid, man, that's what happens when you have a kid. You think about all the horrible shit that happened to your life at that age. So you try to, like, you think it's going to happen to him, but you're reflecting all your badness on that little kid. So that kid just wants to go outside and play basketball. You're thinking in your head, man, motherfucker, go in there and suck a dick right now. What the fuck? No, you think that as a parent because you know what's out there.
Yeah.
If this little motherfucker's five, you don't know what's out there. Yeah, like, I follow my steps onto the restroom. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I'd be overprotective, I think.
Me too. I follow my steps onto the restroom. I wait outside. If you go to the restroom and I see some creepy-ass fool stand up and go to the restroom too,
I'm
going to knock that fool out.
Yeah.
But you know better now opposed to your parents that were crazier and, you know, whatever, under crazy stress
They were
and shit.
Foreigners. They were all about their business because they had clothing stores and stuff. So they were like, dad was like into money and stuff. Right. So. Yeah, they're not from this country. They don't. I feel like I'm aware of the dangers of American life or whatever, and I can protect them. But there are so many unforeseen things that can happen, and I just you know, like my cat got sick like 6 months ago, and I cried. I was really bummed about it because I thought I was gonna lose my cat.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
And it's like, imagine it being a kid. Like, I don't know. Like, you see these tragedies, like fucking. Like Sandy Hook, bro. If I had a kid at Sandy Hook, that's it. I relapse. I disappear. I wouldn't be able to function, bro. I would be devastated.
Oh, I'd be fucked up.
Wouldn't you be devastated?
I'd be devastated.
It would fuck you up for life.
I'll be like, that's it. I'm going back to crack right away.
Fucking done.
Yeah.
That would have been like the only excuse that I could justify myself to being a crackhead.
Yeah. And then you.
All right. Later.
And you know what pisses me off too? It's just like you see ISIS and these fucking, right? And they fucking do this fucking shit in Paris, you know? And they don't realize, I don't know how the people don't realize is that when you kill one person, it affects 100 people's lives. Not just a little bit, you devastate it. You know what I mean? And it's like, they killed a bunch of fools, you know?
Oh, yeah,
and it's like, I don't know how you don't think of that. How do you not think of that, right? That if I kill this guy, it's gonna affect 300 fucking people, right? And it's gonna, like, you know what I mean? It's like a cycle of sadness that you're creating. But these fools, they don't, okay, I'm saying fools.
Yeah,
now.
No,
I'm
talking.
Yeah, these things that they don't fucking think of that. It fucking drives me crazy, dude.
They do, and they want that.
That's what they want.
Yeah,
that's
what the terrorists.
Why would you want that?
They're terrorizing
people.
Yeah,
they don't fucking value life like we see it over here, dude. Over there, they'll fucking kick a dog shooting the fucking head just like they would a person, dude.
He's like the guy who killed those people at the abortion clinic.
Oh, that bad.
I'm doing
shit.
It for the babies.
Motherfucker, you killed older babies, motherfucker.
I know, man.
And he killed everybody that was not getting an abortion. He killed the security guard inside. He killed somebody who was dropping off somebody.
And that's, you know what? That's humanity. I mean, it's always been like that.
Goddamn.
And
right.
It's never going to change.
Now there are cameras and there's Twitter. And there's
Yeah. I guess, it is a little, you know, now people can't get away with fucking scandalous shit like they used to, like cops shooting black people. They used to be able to get away with that shit, and now we have cameras, we have fucking, you know what I mean, now they have dash cam shit, you know, so it's like, I guess, you know, technology has helped us in that way, but it's like, dude, this fucking new element of this ISIS shit is like, oh my God, it's like, fuck, it's fucked.
Yeah, like we just gotta get used to it now. We'll be like Israel.
It's ISO, not ISIS, by the way. ISO.
ISIL, yeah, ISO. My bad, ISO. My bad. You know,
what does ISIS stand for again?
Fuck, I don't know. Fucking
Islamic State of Iraq and Levant.
And Syria.
Levant is the
that what that L for
the region.
Oh,
damn.
The ISIS is Iraq
But we did create them.
We created everything.
Yeah. I mean, they warned Bush, if you're going to go into Iraq, you're going to make the fucking region unstable. There's going to be a civil war, and the disenfranchised are going to create, you know what I mean? What now, you know, we see as ISIS, oh, ISIL, yeah. You know?
I know it's like sucks to say, but you know, Saddam Hussein, he was really keeping those motherfuckers
exactly,
at bay.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah, man, we got these fucking Chias getting all happy, thought they were gonna run the country. Yeah.
Oh, dude, pandemonium.
We went from porn to fucking the ISIL.
Bro, we come from a fucking variety of topics right here on What's Up Full Podcast.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man, don't forget people to buy shit off their search window, though.
Amazon.
We're not promoted by no Wabri Parker or some shit like that. Audible said no. I don't like to read commercials. What's up, fool? BobbyLeeLive.com. Check him out.
Thank
people.
You so much for having me on, dude.
Thank you, bro. I love you too, man. Always been a good guy.
Dog.
Always been a good guy.
Hell yeah. Cool as fuck.
All right, I'm gonna end now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Awesome, dude.
Of course, dude.
You know what? Random and easy with that fanny hook too.
That was funny.
He was a feature assistant.